All right, what a wonderful opportunity, and students, so proud for you to be honored in that way. Church family, we're going to be looking at a new series called The Road Less Traveled. Today's message is titled The Road to the Narrow Gate, and certainly I have the seniors in mind as we walk through this, but these are principles that are applicable to all of us in the room. In fact, it's a special day for me just because this group of seniors represents the first class that I was with from sixth grade all the way now to graduation. Some of you were here in sixth grade, and the Lord has added many of you to our family since then, and so I am so proud of you. It's an honor to have been your student pastor, and let's be honest, many of you, especially those that I knew in sixth, seventh grade, you've gone from being some young little punks to some fine young men and women, and so I am so thankful for all that God is doing in your life. And if you would allow me this last opportunity to speak just as your student pastor this morning. So when I think about this passage that I want to read today in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it reminds me of one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite characters, which is the Scarecrow from the movie The Wizard of Oz. And if you've seen that, you can remember that when Dorothy first meets the Scarecrow, there are multiple roads, and she's trying to figure out which road to go on, and the Scarecrow starts pointing here, and then the next time she looks, he's pointing over here, and then at some point he ends up in one of these, and ultimately that is the road that you guys are on. You are graduating, you have completed this first phase, and now you have all these roads out in front of you. And I just want you to know there are no shortage of people and institutions and companies and everything else that want to point you in a direction, even a spiritual direction. And so this morning, what I want us to look at is the difference between the wide road and the narrow road. And so with that, let me read Matthew 7, 13 through 14. It says this: "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." So with this, Jesus has boiled down everything into the fact, he's saying there are only two types of people. There are those on the wide road, and there are those on the narrow road. And so this morning, what I want to do, not just for these graduates, but for all of us here, is to invite each of us to ask ourselves, what road am I on? Am I on the wide road, or am I on the narrow road? That is the point Jesus is making. So in your life point outlines, if you're following along, I want to just start by setting the context. These verses, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, serve as the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, and they function to invite the listener to obey the teachings of Jesus. I mean, separating these two verses on their own, the wide and narrow path, there's a lot of truth in there, but truly, they function as the beginning of the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. And so I want to sort of make that connection, because everything Jesus has taught in the Sermon on the Mount, from the Beatitudes to the Great Antitheses to teachings about sincere faith, all these things we're going to kind of poke at a little bit this morning and take a peek at. But ultimately, it comes down to this. He says, look, there are two types of people, wide road people and narrow road people. Wise builders, foolish builders, known by the Father in judgment and unknown by the Father in judgment. And it has to relate to how well we are not just hearing, but putting into practice the teachings of Jesus. This idea, or this persuasive speech technique of saying, hey, there are only two types of people, is not unique to Jesus. We've seen this before him, but he crystallized it. In fact, just for fun, I'm going to ask for a little crowd participation, and I get it. Some of you out there are like, I'm not going to participate. That's fine. I'm glad you're here. But for everybody else who's feeling a little bit more generous, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to give a couple of the two types of people. You raise your hand on which one you are, just to sort of emphasize this. There's two types of people when it comes to cutting a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There is the right down the middle and the two rectangles, and then the diagonal triangle cuts. It's two types of people. If you're going to cut a sandwich, one or two ways, or you're psycho, right? So how many of you are right down the middle cutting that sandwich? How many of you are the diagonal cut? All right, very good. All right, there's two types of people. Two types of people. This one, I have very strong opinions on this one. Two types of people when it comes to a smart device. We'll just use email for a moment. Two types of people. Some people, as soon as that little red badge and number pops up, you've got to open it, get it done. Some of you got 2,500 on standby, and it doesn't even bother you at all for that number to just keep growing. How many of you, when the email comes in and the badge pops up, you've got to get rid of it? And how many of you are sitting on over 1,000? Just, yeah. What are you? You'll never in a lifetime be able to get through that. You've just given up. There's two types of people when it comes to ketchup and fries. They're the people that go one blob, and then others that get a little artisanal with it and do the one little stripe across the fries. How many of you are a one glob ketchup person? How many of you got to put a little art to it and garnish that plate? Okay, couple people. How about this? Two types of people when it comes to eating pizza. You either eat the crust or you don't. How many of you eat the crust? Okay. How many of you have got like a crust boneyard at the end of the meal? Okay, quite a few there. How about this one? And this one can get real tense because some husbands and wives may be on different sides of this, but when it comes to the gas gauge, when it gets to about half empty, it's time to fill up, or the light's there for a reason. That's when you fill up. How many of you, it's like it hits halfway, we got to start filling it up. How many of you, it's like the light's on, now it's time. Yeah, all right. We know who to call. The first group of people are the people we'll call when we run out of gas on the side of the road. Last one, there are two types of people when it comes to toothpaste. There are the squeeze in the middle, and then there are the meticulous rollers from the bottom. How many of you squeeze in the middle? How many of you roll? Yeah. See, there's two types of people. We understand that there are many ways that we can divide people down into two types. And Jesus is using that same mechanism for his listeners to understand, are you going to be hearers and doers, or are you going to be hearers and ignorers? Because the difference is the narrow way or the wide way. Those are the two options. In this room, there's no third option. You are either on the narrow road or you are on the wide road. And so what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to just look at three ways we can sort of determine what road we are on. And students, I ask you to consider what road you are on. Number one, I'm going to give you some directional things. I'm going to ask you, number one, to look down and look at what type of road am I on? What type of road? In Matthew 7, Jesus says, and you have it there in the box, that there is a hard way and there's an easy way. On the hard road, there are going to be less people on that road. On the easy road, there's going to be a lot more people on that road. One leads to life and the other leads to destruction. So you got to ask yourself, looking down metaphorically at the road you're on, is this like a 6-lane highway going around Dallas or Houston that you're on, or is it like a dirt path? Like, are there a lot of people? Like, are you and the majority of the world on the same path, or do you look around and you're not alone? But it's not everybody. It's crowds to group, right? You understand the difference, right? Who's around you? What type of road you're on? Earlier this year, actually it was in November, We had a group of students, some of you were a part of that from this class and others in the room, and some parents. We went and did a Tough Mudder race. If you're not familiar with that, it's one of those obstacle mud run races. And there is an easy way, which is to avoid said obstacles, and then there's a hard way. There were two in particular that stand out in my mind that I remember getting ready to go through and thinking, am I going to go easy way or hard way? The first one was about this much water and mud and gravel that you had to army crawl through because there was barbed wire about just above your backspace. And I am horrible at estimates, but I'm just going to say it was from about here to Mr. Keithley. Keith, you mind just, you're right there. So about here to there. I mean, that's sort of a distance. And I remember standing there, and I was certainly at the back of the pack, so like no one would have known which way or another, but I decided, hey, I signed up for this thing. I decided I'm going to do it. Let's do the hard path. And I think I still have some scabs that are healing from November from going through and army crawling and dragging my body across that gravel. There's an easy path, which you could just walk around all of it, or there was the hard path. The second one that comes to mind is the conclusion of the race. There's about this much water, again, muddy water, and then hay bales stacked in just randomness so that you can't run a straight line. And then there are wires hanging down, many of which have an electrical charge running through them. And so you have to determine, I mean, at the end of this 5K, am I going to run through the electrical charges? Or am I not, right? Like, I mean, that's the option. And you're looking at people sort of running, and then they'll hit one and down. And you're just like, oh, Lord, please just don't let me go down, right? Like, let me stay up. And so you'd make that determination, the easy way or the hard way. But here's the deal. I signed up because I wanted to test my mettle against some of these obstacles. And so I ran through it, along with a bunch of others that I see around the room that still have a twitch, right? You know, I got hit by two electrodes and finished the race, and that's the most prized T-shirt for finishing a race I've ever had in my life. And ladies and gentlemen, there is spiritually an easy road and a hard road. The hard road, you receive life way better than a T-shirt. And the easy route, you get no prize. It's destruction. So what type of road are you on? The easy, the hard, by the many, or by the few? This is the call that Jesus has for us. So number one, look down. What type of road am I on? Number two, look up. What do the road signs tell you? Looking at road signs gives us an indication of our general direction. A few weeks ago, my dad took me on a birthday trip to New York City. I have not been to New York City in like 15 years. It's probably been like 30 years for him. So we did not know the landscape. And we were trying to go from lower Manhattan to the Bronx to go to a Yankees game because we love baseball. And we're trying to figure out how to use the subway system to get there. We asked the concierge at the hotel, how do we get to the Yankees game? She gives us three simple steps. And we get down there, and I don't see any road signs that point that we're in the right direction. So the train pulls in. The conductor has the window open. I say, is this the train to get to Yankee Stadium? He's got three new simple steps. And we're just driving around, and I figure out, okay, I am going, forget the people. I'm going to Google Maps because they have a public transportation function, just FYI, if you're ever out in that situation. And I begin to look at it as it is trying to guide me through which trains to get on. And as we finally get on a train that I think is correct, I start watching the stops to see if I'm going towards Yankee Stadium or away. Unfortunately, we were supposed to be going north. We jumped on the south, and so we're going the wrong way. But how did I know? I looked up, and I saw the stops were not heading in the direction I wanted to go. So we get off that train. We get on the next one. Then we begin to see a couple more Yankee caps. They were playing the Orioles that day. We start to see a couple Orioles jackets jump on there. And it's like, okay, we are now headed in the right direction. Why? Because I was looking up to go, are the signs telling me I'm headed in the right direction? So what I'd like for us to do is to look up at some road signs. Students, I want you to look at some road signs from the Sermon on the Mount to determine, am I on the narrow path or am I on the wide path? I told you these verses function as a conclusion, so everything before that is fair game for whether it's the wide or the narrow. So this is what I've got for you. You have one of the road signs is there healthy fruit or is there diseased fruit coming out of your life? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, look, a fig tree that is healthy will bear healthy fruit. A fig tree that is not healthy bears diseased fruit. So one of the road signs to determine which road we're on is, are we bearing spiritual fruit? If you go to Galatians 5 this afternoon, you can see the fruit of the flesh contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you seeing those fruits in your life? Or do you have diseased fruit like selfishness and untrustworthy testimony and lust and greed and envy? Like, what is being produced? Because that is a sign, are you headed in the right direction? Secondly, not only healthy fruit, but when we look up another road sign is, do you have sincere faith or showy religion? Sincere faith or showy religion? Jesus spent a significant amount of time on the Sermon on the Mount contrasting sincere faith and just showy religion. He says, look, if you are going to pray, do not stand out on the street and make a big production so that everybody can hear by your graceful words how great a prayer warrior you are. He says, instead, go into your inner closet and pray where only the Father can see. Sincere or for show? He says, when you fast, don't be like the Pharisees who go out and look all gaunt and tired and dirty and just walking around just constantly like, ooh, my stomach's grumbling. What would you like something? Can't fasting. Right? Like, that's what they would do. He says, no, instead, wash your face, put on clean clothes as you're fasting, because if you do it that way, your reward, when that person asks, hey, what are you doing? I'm fasting. That's the end of the reward. But when you fast in private, sincerely, then the Father blesses it. He says, don't go and give an offering and, like, go get $100 in nickels so you can throw it in the jar. And everybody goes, ooh, somebody really giving something today. He says, no, instead, when you give, be generous in such a way that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. You see the difference between sincere, God-honoring faith and faith that is simply made for show. So if I may, just take a brief moment to step on a few toes out of love, because I want you on the narrow path, not the wide path. If you come to church so that your pastor will see you, when he says hello to you, you got the fullness of the reward in that moment. But if you come with a sincerity to worship, the Father will bless that. If you come to a church building in order to make networking career connections, you have received your total reward. But if you come to invest in and sharpen iron and iron, brother to brother, sister to sister in faith, then you will receive your reward. Students, for those of you that are going off to school, when your family comes to visit and you show up in town, and it's like, hey, let's go to your church. What's that going to look like? You're going to have to Google the pastor's name real quick. You're going to have to look up some Google directions. Or is worship, sincere faith, gathering to be with God's people, is that a part of who you are? Because that's the difference between the narrow and the wide road. Another signal, road signal that we can look at is stewarding treasures versus hoarding treasure. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where rust and moth will destroy and the thief can steal. Instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth can destroy and no thief can steal. in general, is our faith one that is sincere? Are the road signs of the ledger of our bank account one that is generous? Or is it all spent on us? Jesus says, that is where your heart truly is. So read the road signs. And then the last one under this category would be trusting God with tomorrow versus being anxious about tomorrow. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, look at the lilies of the field. Are they not dressed in a greater splendor than even Solomon in his heyday? Does God not care about you more than he does the flowers? He says, look at the birds of the air. There's not a single bird wringing their little wings together, worried about their meal tomorrow, because God takes care of them. He says, does God not take care of you more than even the birds? But then he says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things that we worry about, our needs, will be added to you. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to belittle the fact that we are living in maybe the most anxious, anxiety-ridden era in human history. And I get that there are some that this is a legitimate battle and difficulty, and I am not meaning to demean that by any stretch. But Jesus is saying, I can help you trust me for tomorrow. You seek my righteousness, my kingdom, and I will help you manage the day-to-day because you are worth more to me than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Looking at the road signs, are you on the narrow road or the wide road? Which leads me to the third. Not only do we look down at the type of road we're on or look up to see the road signs to make sure we're tracking the right direction, but number three, look ahead and ask, what destination is at the end of the road I am on? What's at the end of this road? Because Jesus says very succinctly, there is life at the end of the hard, narrow path with few people, and there is destruction on the path that is wide with many people that is easy. So you've got to ask yourself, grads and everyone in here, myself included, what do I want my end destination to be? Life or destruction? Jesus is not mincing words here. In the conclusion of his sermon, he makes three observations. It's a wide and narrow road. It is a foolish and wise builder, and it is being unknown by the Father in judgment and being known by him. And what is the difference? The difference is who hear the words of Jesus and act on them, respond to them, versus those who hear them and ignore them. See, Jesus has been teaching in this Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Then he goes on to say, look, let me even redefine for you some things. He says, you have heard it said, do not murder, but I tell you, don't even harbor hate in your heart towards a brother, because it's equal to murder in this kingdom that's coming. He says, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, don't even lust after another person in this kingdom. You've heard it said, but I tell you. Then he goes through the sincere faith and the showy faith, and he boils all the way down to these last three illustrations to close it out. And so as you look ahead, here's the question. Is the path you're on, spiritually speaking, leading to wisdom or foolishness? Because at the very end of this sermon, Jesus says, let them who have ears hear. Those who hear my words and put them into practice are like a wise man who built his house on a rock. So when the storms of life come, the house remained. But those who hear my words and do not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the storm came in and the tide rolled up, the house washed away. Jesus also says right before that about speaking about judgment. He said, this is a scary statement. It'll shake you a little bit. But he says, there will many who will say to me, Lord, Lord. And I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. They will say, I know you, but he will say, but I didn't know you. See, the destination is important. It helps determine the road you want to be on. I think back to that same trip in New York City with my dad. On the last day, we decided we wanted to take a little boat cruise to see the Statue of Liberty. It was not going to be one that you get off and on the island and onto Ellis Island. It was a little bit shorter, about an hour. We were just going to cruise by, get some photos, tour guide, give us some thoughts. And when we walked up, we had our tickets, and we walked up, and I saw a line of like 300 people. And I thought, oh, man, we are going to be in this line forever. And so we naturally gravitated to the line of 300. And as we're walking through, there was a lady there at the very front of the line, and we showed her our tickets. And she said, hey, I'm sorry, you are in the wrong line. You actually need to be over there. And I'm like, how do you get over there? I mean, there's like all this park and benches and roadway. I'm thinking, okay, well, we found the path. And when we got there, instead of a line of 300, there were 10 people in line. I could not help but think of these verses. I naturally gravitated to where the many were. But thank goodness there was a person there who said, hey, you're in the wrong line. In fact, if you'll just go right over there. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, students, if you're truly a born-again believer, you need to go and stand at that line, not to get in the line, but to be the person that says, hey, I know of another line. I know another path. It's just right over there. It's going to be a little bit trickier to navigate, but the wait is shorter. And the destination is just as good. You're still going to the Statue of Liberty, right? Like, we naturally gravitate to the many. We gravitate to the herd. And what Jesus is saying is that my kingdom, you need to look and find the narrow path. If you find yourself with the many, you may be on the wrong road. The destination matters. Do you want to be known or unknown? Do you want to be wise or foolish? Do you want life or destruction? Like, if that's one thing that I could say to you right before you all just sort of hit the various trajectories that God has for you, I would just say, whatever journey you're on, the spiritual journey, walk the narrow road. It will be harder, and it will only get more difficult, and that's for all of us in this room. To follow Christ is going to get more difficult, but the destination is life. The same Jesus who said, take up your cross daily in sacrifice said, but if you follow me, I'll give you life to the full. Both are true, sacrifice and life. I'm going to close with this last statement on the Life Point outline, because some of us need good news. If you find yourself looking down and finding yourself on the wide road, or you're looking at the road signs and it's trending in a direction you did not think you were headed, or if the destination as you peer down the road is not what you anticipated it would be, here's the gospel reminder. Jesus offers directions to help you change paths and find the right road. There is not a person in here that Jesus is not willing to help you get off the wide path to destruction, to get on the narrow road to life. And I want to encourage you that you would take the bold step after this service concludes, that you would walk right across the mall area into the Next Step room and ask somebody to be that ticket holder to go, hey, I'm in the long line. I'd like to get in the one with the few. How do I repent of sin, trust Christ? I want life, not destruction. If that's you today, I would encourage you strongly to do that. I'm going to pray for us. Thank you for your time. Thank you, grads. I love you. I'm so proud of you. I look forward to what God's going to do. And when you show back up here, please do not be a stranger. If you need help, reach out. We're here for you, all right? I'm going to pray, then we're going to have a video that will tell you some upcoming events that you can pray for and participate in, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the clarity of the two types of people. Lord, I pray that we'd be mindful that we are on the narrow path to the narrow gate which leads to life. Father, I pray for anyone who is struggling with which road they're on, that you would use your Spirit to convict and draw them this morning. Give them boldness to obey. Give all of us the boldness to obey and be wise builders with our life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.